You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 34 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dio Morales, and I am joined by, not your daddy, Marcel Manzano.
I got proof.
Tim Hilton.
Howdy, guys.
Paul Heaver.
Hello.
And Duncan Howard.
Hey, everybody.
So our plan for today is to talk about the results of the U.S. National Championships and what this might mean for the future meta.
Unlock the hologram.
So we have a ton to talk about, so we're going to go straight into our main topic. My hope is for our discussion to show the decision-making process that competitive players go through during, before, and after a major event. So I figure we start with what list each of us brought to the event and why did we decide to bring it. So I'll start. I brought the list known as Fairship Rebels 2. Some people call it Selflessness Rebels. And it consists of Lorik, Withdraw Their Fire, Chopper, and Tactician, a Naked Captain Rex, Biggs Darklighter with R4-D6 and Integrated Astromech, and Jess Pava with Selflessness, Pattern Analyzer, R2-D6, and Integrated Astromech. So I brought it because it is does a great job of distributing damage. It has a really high number of dice in Final Salvo if it comes to that. And it's just it has four guns and arcs that you can point at, things with low agility that you could just, you know, throw a lot of dice and usually survive to the end of the game. Tim, what did you bring and why did you bring it?
So I brought Biggs Lauric Miranda. Otherwise known as Ego 3.0 or 100 Point Miranda. I brought it because originally I was trying to make Y Miranda Y work to try and, you know, take down the Fairship Rebel matchup. But I was speaking to Zach and Grasser about it, and they said that the threat of an alpha is, you know, it is massive. So going with Biggs and Lauric there really allowed me to survive the Dengar Nims that were out there, you know, the dashes, those kinds of things. But, you know, in talking to Zach, he and I discussed, you know, the only difference between my list and his list for Gen Con was I took Draw Their Fire on Lauric over Selflessness. And I did that simply to, you know, help Biggs survive more. And I think it paid off in a few of my matchups. So I think it was the right call, and it panned out pretty well for me. So I liked it. It was a good list to fly. The arcs were great, and you know, in the end, Miranda's the best, arguably the best ship in the game. So she's gonna do what she's gonna do.
Marcel,
I took the same triple jumps that I flew at the Worlds and at the Chicago regionals, and the reason I took it is because they're still good. I'm comfortable with them, and I haven't been flying anything really that I came up on my own recently, other than at the store championships, just kind of flying a bunch of jank. I haven't made it out to any of the league nights over the past few months, so really just came into this cold. So just figured just go with what I know is still good, and what I'm kind of comfortable with. And what I could play kind of in my sleep at this point. Maybe not always well, but still in my sleep.
And Duncan, what'd you bring in? Why?
So I brought Yor with Palpatine Collision Detector, Omega Leader with Juke, Com, and Hull Upgrade. And I decided to bring Vader at PS-11 with Engine Upgrade, Tidal, Advanced Targeting Computer, and Cruise Missiles. I didn't have, like, a lot of time to practice. Like, I couldn't go to casual nights because there's, like, a lot of people there who are wondering what I'm playing, want to beat what I'm playing. So I decided to test for store championships bringing a PS9 Quick Draw, but the other two were the same. And Quick Draw just fills the spot of Vader right there. I know how to fly Vader. He's basically Soon tier in this meta. It worked out. I predicted there'd be a lot of PS10 Nim when he was spoiled, so it worked out. I was right about that. The only one I can't beat apparently seems to be Paul's version.
And that's a great transition. Paul, what did you bring?
Apparently I brought the ability to forget how to hit my mute button. So I brought the, I don't know, I don't have a cool name for the list yet. I just call it Bombs Are Fine. So yeah, I brought Captain Nim and Miranda. So Captain Nim is a fairly standard 47-point Captain Nim with veteran instincts, twin laser turret, bomblet generator, havoc, engine upgrade, advanced sensors, genius. And Miranda is like my Naboo Miranda, basically, but more so. She has twin lasers, extra munitions, Sabine, ion bombs, thermal detonators, cluster mines, and advanced slam. So basically, what led me to that was I was watching Nathan win Gen Con, and I really liked what he was doing with Nim, but I'm not a big fan of Cornhorn. And nor can I fly Cornhorn like Nathan does, because I haven't been doing that for, like, since I was in the womb like he was. And I do know how to fly Miranda, so I went with, and she is not just arguably, but is the best ship in the game. So I went with Nim and Miranda.
Fantastic. So now we'll transition to just talking about what would you say was your most interesting matchup. And since, Paul, you just finished giving us your list, what would you say was your most interesting matchup?
Man, I had a lot of matchups that ended up with, like, one hull Miranda, which was always super exciting and tense. But I think one of the more interesting matchups, like, I had a couple of them that were like this, were against, like, Miranda Dash. Because you play, or Nim Dash, they're both very similar, how you play against them. Because you play, like, cat and mouse the entire time. And it's really interesting how the game works out. Like, my top 64 match was against Ross Bennett from North Dakota, South Dakota, one of the Dakotas. And he was running Miranda Dash. And so he does the fairly standard Dash thing and makes, like, a little nest of asteroids in the middle of the board, and he was kind of slow rolling up a little bit and not moving very quickly, and I did what I've apparently nobody else does, and I did the, like, three forward, three bank slam, and, like, one pre-boost, four forward, drop a bomb, and I just went into his little nest and I started bombing it, and I was like, if you want to come into your nest, Dash, go right ahead, but it's filled with bombs, so maybe you don't want to do that. And he had to, like, not go there, and then we're fighting along the edge and everything, and it was really interesting. I got to do the triple bomb on Miranda as she, like, came in on a bombing run on me, and all kinds of fun stuff. So I think that was kind of that whole, like, type of list is the most interesting to me, because it's you're constantly, like, on the knife's edge where you're, if you screw up, then Dash just punches a hole in one of your ships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Dash can hit pretty hard with those four dice. Marcel, what would you say was your most interesting matchup?
I think I had three of them. Two of them, I guess, the same list that Tim brought, but it wasn't against Tim. It was against one was Stephen Michael Mickle, and the other one was the guy that you played, Tim, in the top four. I forgot the guy's name.
Josh Holt.
Okay, Josh Holt. Both of them had, again, the same list that Tim mentioned with Miranda, Lorik, Biggs. I think both of them had selflessness instead, though. And the thing that made those games really interesting is that it was kind of a cat and mouse, in that I'm trying to get my torpedoes off on everybody except Biggs. And in both situations, it was the exact. It was. I lost both matches, by the way. One was in the top eight, and the other one was during Swiss. And both, I lost in the same manner, in basically not being able to put one damage on a Biggs that has no Lorik support, and is just basically rolling natural evades. And in both situations, I just couldn't put one damage on Biggs with let's just say mathematical probability of winning, but that's the way it plays sometimes. The most interesting match, though, those weren't the interesting. Those are just the ones that kind of, like, stuck to me the most, probably because I lost them. The most interesting was against Andrew Bunn, who flew Paratani, and that was just an intense match. I came into that match knowing 100% that I would lose, And luckily for me, Andrew made a bad choice in the opening engagement, and from that point, I kind of had him. But even with him making a mistake, that list is just so tough against triple jumps that it was still close. I think it was like a 49-44 win or something close like that, even with him making a big mistake. So, yeah.
Awesome. How about you, Duncan?
Oh, sorry, my mic was muted. Yeah, so I had a lot of very meta stuff most of my rounds, but I found a very interesting matchup in top 32, I guess, versus Corin Miranda. It was just very interesting the way it played out and his build. He had a 9-point bid. He had vectored thrusters on Miranda just to play the range 3 game all day.
Did you say 9-point?
Yes, he was a 91-point list.
That was Adam James, right?
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, he had full-on Corin push, advanced sensors, engine upgrade, everything like that. I was chasing Corin for a while. Corin with no mods at range 3 got 2 crits into a megaliter with the hit and the double tap and put me down to 2 hull with a direct hit. But I slooped to the board edge, have Yor covering a huge arc, and he slams Miranda so I can't shoot him. But I kind of saw that coming. I did a 3 hard boost, and I cruise missile Corin, who had barrel boosted and bumped into the shuttle to take 1 fewer shot. Cruise missile took all the shields and a megaliter, called a palp crit and rolled 2 hits and 2 hits, palped a crit and killed Corin. So then it's, you know, Miranda versus my whole squad. But that was very interesting to somehow catch that in the kill box. I didn't think I'd do that.
Awesome. What about you, Tim?
I mean, there were a lot of great games. I mean, there were a lot of great players at this tournament. The ones that really stick out the most to me are going to be probably Jesse Tanque in the top 16. It was Rowboats, and basically I lost Biggs and Miranda Biggs and Laurik really quickly. And it was Miranda versus Fenn in a jump without shields, and 45 minutes of crazy squirrely Miranda flying to live and take down the jump, and then eventually Fenn. But it was a great game, back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. And then playing against John, who had probably one of the crazier lists that I saw in the tournament, with 2 TLT Y-Wings, Skurg, it was the Karthak Skurg, with a cruise missile and a TLT, and Intel Agent, and then a quad jumper with Intel Agent and the pseudo title. And it was, you know, I saw that and said, you know, what the heck am I supposed to do against this thing? And it was a great back and forth game. We were, you know, Biggs obviously died, but, you know, Laurik really was the key to victory there. I mean, that reinforced being in the game, it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I like it, but it sure as hell helps against TLTs. And then obviously the game against Paul was a great time. It was our first time playing, so it was definitely a great experience. And I made one really crucial mistake on one banking after my 2 turn, and man, did he punish me for it.
Yeah, John was actually supposed to meet with us, John Messmore, but unfortunately he was having some technical difficulties. So, yeah, those are all awesome. For myself, my most interesting matchup was one, the top 64, where I got eliminated. I got tabled by Matt Irby, so yes, he collected the crate bounty on me, first person to do it. Felt bad. But what was great is we danced around a lot, and I felt that I flew really, really well, and I was able to trap Whisper 3 times with all arcs on her at range 2. And she just decided to be a god and not die. So yeah, that it was a fun game, 100-0 loss. But yeah, that was a really, really great game, and thank you, Matt, for having a good time while playing. It's probably one of the most positive experiences I had at that tournament. So, you know, now, you know, I've been asking, like, individual questions. Now we can open it up a little bit, you know, loosen it up. And let's have a discussion about, you know, we all were at this tournament. We saw what did well. You could look over, see the different lists around. And, you know, what are some of the meta reactions, at least when it comes to competitive play, that you think this tournament will cause? Who wants to go first?
Meta reactions, you think? Like people responding to what just won?
Yeah.
I think we're just going to see a lot more to what just won. I mean, why try to invent something yourself when you can just pick up the best thing in the meta?
Yeah, more or less, I think the meta has sort of stabilized with Nationals. Gen Con was really the wild, wild west, and then between that and Nationals is when we sort of had it settle out, and, you know, you're sort of seeing what it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of bombs, a lot of scum, and the Imperials are doing whatever they can to really make a dent in that stronghold of bombs and TLTs that scum can really and Rebels can bring to the table.
What were you saying, Paul?
It went to the Imperials trying to make a dent. Kylo is like the only thing that's going to make a dent for the Imperials.
Hey, Paul. I didn't fly Kylo.
I know you didn't fly Kylo. And did you see what happened to Vader and Megalator in our matchup? I don't know.
But my cruise missile.
But, guys, Gamma Vet with assault missiles and ruthlessness made the cut. Come on. That was pretty awesome.
That was indeed pretty awesome. But, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of two-ship builds. I mean, we're already seeing a billion two-ship builds, and you're going to see even more of them. I think only, like, three or four of my games out of the 12 were against things that had more than two ships. And because a lot of the top 16 were two ships, so we'll see a lot of two ships. And we'll see. Yeah, people copy the list that top 16. If they don't want to run Nimiranda, you know, they'll copy Duncan's list, or they'll grab like some of the other random lists that made it out there. If they like Kylo, Tyler's got a good list for that. Or the two Tim's list and the other guy in the top four. I think you guys were running the same thing, just with a different. Different EPT, right?
Yeah, the mirror. Let me just tell you, the mirror is not a pleasant experience. Basically, whoever wins the initiative roll wins that game, and it's still arduous.
Yeah, so you're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff. I think Fairship Rebels is going to drop off a little bit, and then obviously once harpoon missiles become legal, you'll never see Fairship Rebels again. But you know, that's besides the point. But that's my predictions on what's going to happen in the metagame, such as it is. I guess this is for other Nationals that are coming up, because there's nothing for us in the U.S. for a while now, right?
Yeah, regionals and
November. Well, kind of. We've got Canadian Nationals, which is kind of a pseudo U.S. National repeat minus the winner.
Oh, New American Nationals, you mean?
Yeah, the New American Nationals.
No, it's Future American Nationals.
Oh, sorry. Apologies.
Yeah.
Apologies, future America.
But yeah, I think in 3 weeks when a lot of the top field that was here at the U.S. Nationals and some of the folks from Gen Con go up to Canada and then also mix in with some of what they're flying over there in their metas, I think we'll get a kind of a complete picture. But I agree with Paul that it's going to be a lot of what you saw this time around. U.S. Nationals, you know, you had bombs and Lorik and Biggs making the most impact. And in this tournament, you know, Miranda, Nim, and Biggs, a combination of them are still kind of what's making the most impact and kind of winning the most games and having the most favorable matchups. Triple Jump Masters or Two Jumps and Fen Rao and those lists, they... You know, they're still good. Obviously, Travis Johnson made top four with it. I made top eight. And then there was somebody else who made, like, a top 16 or top 32 with it. So those are still viable. But the damage output on those, once you get past that first volley, drops off so significantly that if you're stuck with even two of them against something like Miranda, you're just it's going to be hard for you to win that. Mostly because that half point and, you know, half point on the big base and Miranda and the other small bases just being able to, you know, bank points and conserve all of that MOV, all of those points for a match, which by the way, is a sore spot for me. But that's a different conversation. Or maybe it shouldn't be a different conversation. Why the heck is Captain Njor, who dies so easily, be half points where, you know, Nim is not? I think that's...
Yeah, no, that's 100% a real conversation that needs to be had, whether we need to move to half points for small ships. I mean, yeah, regen is an issue there, but just because, you know, three ships basically make an issue doesn't mean that the rest of the ships shouldn't be put under that same win condition. I mean, yeah, it's kind of annoying to me, and I play Miranda 100%. I make no apologies that she should be half points for if you get her into hull, even I'd say, yeah, you should definitely get half points for doing that.
Yeah, you see, the Mirandas I've been playing have slowly been getting more and more expensive as time goes on.
What was the first question I asked you, Paul, when we played? It's like, how expensive is your Miranda?
Yeah, and it's 50. Oh, okay, well, crap, then I have to kill it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, Paul, right, most of the people who are going to jump on the meta bandwagon, they're going to look at your list. They're going to say, all right, Paul won with this. That means it's good. We saw the same thing when you won Worlds. I mean, that your Fat Han and your 4BZ and...
I wasn't 4BZ, but okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, not 4BZ.
It's mine now, apparently.
What was the second one?
Take that, Ron.
What was the second one?
The first one was Biggs Walks the Dogs, then it was Fat Han, and then Biggs it was the Poe thing that I had.
I'm sorry, you know, you've just won so many championships.
Yeah. It's hard, I mean, and people, straight, like, copy the list that I play at big events, but I mean, it's not just me. People copy the list that the named players play.
Right.
Just because, obviously, if they're playing them, it must be because they're good. So, yeah.
So, let's talk about everybody's list here. We're going to go through one more time. And let's talk about what is the thing that you don't want to see across the table, Paul? When you, if during this tournament you saw what list across the table, you would say, oh, crap, this is a bad matchup for me.
I think two of the worst matchups were actually what I had to play against. The triple jumps, you can't dodge the arcs ever, and they have a ton of health for eating bombs. And, like, you have to dodge their torpedoes the whole time. So, like, you're constantly kiting them, and, like, you are always getting nickel and dimed here and there by them because, like, Nim's just going to die. You have to accept the fact that Nim's going to die because he's not dodging anything. He's not regenerating. So eventually he's just going to explode. And that kind of stuff is pretty bad. I mean, obviously the absolute worst matchup is Kylo Rack. But, like, I didn't even think about that as a bad matchup because it's just an auto-loss matchup. If you hit it, you go, yep, I'm moving on to the next round with a loss. But yeah, the winnable but bad matchups are like multiple turrets thing and that have lots of health that bombs aren't going to really worry about. So it's tough to work around those kind of things. So yeah, triple jumps are probably the worst but winnable. Miranda backed up by Biggs and Lorik is pretty scary too. Just because your Miranda's going to die faster than theirs because of big shenanigans. It's really whoever loses Miranda first is going to lose the game probably on that one. That's what I found anyway. But yeah. So if I had to rank them, I'd say in the order, like Kylo Rack is the worst, and then triple jumps, and then Miranda backed by Biggs.
So Paul, if I can interject you here, if you don't mind, Dion.
Yeah, go for it.
Like one of the things you have to look at when you're bringing a list is, or wanting to counter a list, is how many other bad matchups you have. Like Kylo Rack, like, just has bad matchups versus a lot of stuff like Fairship Rebel. That seems really tough. Triple Jump seems really tough. Like, yeah, I could bring the list to counter Paul, if I could guarantee I was facing Paul's list every game, but you know you're not. I faced maybe the same list, like duplicate list, maybe twice this tournament.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like Kyler Rack in particular has like a 90-10 matchup versus a lot of things, and a 10-90 matchup versus a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. So that one you're just praying to the matchup gods the whole time.
I mean, a year ago when Soontir Inquisitor Palp was a thing. Like, you just preyed on the fact that 90% of your matchups were triple jumps, and the things that beat you were suppressed by the 90% triple jumps.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, Duncan, let's switch to you. What
first
is something...
I want to ask something for Paul.
Go for it.
When you were playing Travis's when I left, just kind of curious what happened, because when I saw that matchup, I actually thought, you know, okay, Travis got this. He's going to be in the final. No disrespect. It's just to your point, it's a really tough matchup, one that I don't think I've lost yet, and against two ships with one agility. So what happened that turned the tide in your favor in that matchup?
Oh man, you really should watch it because it is hilarious. If only you had the table mic there too. Like, unfortunately, you don't get to hear it because Travis and I mean, we're not really taking the game super seriously. Like, we're joking around with each other, and he's like, nope, I'm not falling for your bombs. And, like, so I dragged him through the asteroids, like, I don't know, half a dozen times it felt like. It just was back and forth, and basically I made it so that only one of them would ever get shots on me, and that took a lot of doing. And he ended up killing Nim at about the same time all three of his ships were at half. So I was technically ahead, except he had all of his ships on the board. And I had a full health Miranda. So then Miranda just starts racing away from him and plinking away with TLTs as he tries to, like, corner her and get her trapped. But if I get them all down to, like, two hull. Like, he was very, very good at spreading the damage around, but not very good at doing the damage because I rolled super well and I got kind of lucky on green dice and where we were going. The rocks were probably not in the best positions for him. So I played my butt off on that one and still barely walked out of it. At time, I had one health Miranda versus a two-hull scout. So, I squeaked through that one.
Wow.
But yeah, it's awesome to watch that one. That's a good one to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a peek at it. All right, sorry, Duncan.
So that's on the Steel TV YouTube channel, so go ahead and look that up if you guys want to watch that game. Duncan, I know this is probably a heartbreaker for you because I think, would you say that your worst matchup was your stream match?
Yeah, definitely. That when I knew Paul was in my bracket, I knew I'd face him. It's just like this, the bomblet generator is easy to beat when you're running Palp Aces, but when you have Sabine with a guaranteed damage on top of it, it's not good. And Paul had a slightly bigger bid than me, so it's just like Omega Leader moving first was not my ideal game state I wanted. And also, rolling 7 out of 8 on bomblet generator is also not a good call for anyone trying to fly my list. That's definitely the worst matchup. I don't think it has that many bad matchups across the board, though, which is part of the reason I flew it. Like, oh, I can beat other Nim plus lists or other Miranda plus lists, and I did all weekend. It was pretty easy.
So the thing that pushes it over the top for you is the Sabine.
Yes, Sabine pushes over to the top. But like I said, I was preparing for the broadest of meta matchups, which helped. You bring PS11 Vader, and you have a pretty easy time dismantling some Nims. You get free crits into his hull. He goes down pretty quick.
Sweet. What about you, Tim?
In the end, I think that, like Duncan just said, I chose a list that had very broadly good matchups. That said, I did play against a couple lists that were less than ideal. There's a list that's floating around that's two Skurgs with cruise missiles and TLT, extra munitions, and then a party bus. I actually had myself, we filled out brackets, as you guys saw in Gold Squadron, and I actually had myself getting knocked out by that list in the top 32. It's just because I saw that and I said, there is every chance that that can really chew through Biggs quick enough to make my life pretty bad. And having long-range scanners on those Karthax means that I'm not going to be able to dodge out with Miranda, and I'm going to be target locked, and they're going to be able to pump cruise missiles into me, which is not something Miranda likes. Other than that, there's not too much else in the meta that really scares me. Even Paul's list, I felt that, that's sort of a 50-50, which in most games I'll take, but I guess, when I'm playing Paul Heaver, in the end, that sort of tips it in that list's favor, because he's definitely a better pilot than I am. But yeah, the list is really solid, and it has some leeway, but that's definitely was a very scary matchup walking into.
And Marcel, what's something you didn't want to see?
Kind of similar to what Duncan said, and Paul kind of ran into my worst matchup, which was Andrew Bunn flying Peritani for triple jumps. I think their biggest strength is that action economy and being able to take people's actions away, especially Miranda. You can just block her and get rid of all those action bombs and things like that, as long as you can get ahead of her once. But with Peritani, you're constantly getting stressed. You can't get rid of their actions because you're not going to block all three every time. So that's the most difficult matchup, and you really got to get lucky with it. Outside of that, other difficult matchups are definitely the what do you call them? The ego. And what makes that matchup difficult is just their ability to be able to spread damage around. Same thing with Fairship Rebels. It's a really tough matchup because your torpedoes, no matter where you put them, there's a way to mitigate damage and spread it around to the point where you're going to burn all of your ordnance, and then you're trying to kill a defensive list with a two-die turret, which becomes very impossible. So you have to get kind of creative in setting up a block and dumping in your ordnance when you know they're not going to be able to to mitigate that damage.
Yeah, for myself, I was flying the Fairship Rebels. Bombs are a bad matchup for it, but at the same time, not. Everybody knows what a castle is. If you're listening to the show, we've talked about it before. My strategy against lists with bombs is to say, hey, you come to me, because I usually have 11 dice in Final Salvo. Something like Paul's list has 5 in Final Salvo. So I put the pressure onto Paul to say, hey, you have to come. Now, we didn't get to play it, but this is a theoretical example. You have to come to me, and the hope is that if I can break out at the same time and possibly kill something and not eat too much damage from him skirting the edge of TLTs and chasing too hard and getting bombed to death, that maybe I could win that game.
I did actually practice against the Fortress of Fairship Rebels, actually. I tried figuring out how to approach it just so I can barely catch Rex in TLT range, but not Biggs, and just see if I can, because a bumping Rex, like if he doesn't break out, is pretty quick to burn down. And and then if you break out, then I tried setting it up so that if you did break out, I could slam and bail with Nim, because you can pre-boost in either direction and kind of work that out. So I did have to prepare for that, because it was definitely on my mind.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
That's good. So that means if you're out there playing or trying to play Miranda, you're gonna have to practice it. Don't just go in cold and hope, because if you don't get that range band right, like you said, you end up you know, picking off Biggs first, or, you know, getting caught in a bad spot. So, you know, let's just talk about a general overview of the Nova Open. Was there anything maybe that you, games that you weren't involved with, whether it be another list that you saw, another player, an interaction, something with the community that you just want to bring up that happened at the Nova Open?
Well, one thing that I really, I've gone to the Nova Open before for other events, and I just want to say that, you know, the work that Roy puts into the Star Wars games for Nova Open, you know, Roy, Tony, everybody involved, is extraordinary. The tournament itself was really well run. We moved quickly, efficiently. I was never standing around waiting, you know, for them to put up pairings for that long, which is a great thing for me as a player. And, you know, the format is what it was. I mean, 64 elimination was interesting to see. I still am not sure how I felt about it. Obviously, I made it to the final table, so it was good to me. But I don't know if I feel like that is a format that I want to see in the future. But I think I just want to say that the staff really did a great job of making everything run smoothly.
Yeah, so I'll kind of piggyback on that. I'm not sure how I feel about that 64 elimination. I think it kind of rewards some of the bad play early on, which, you know, Tim, you can't. You went undefeated and you were top of your seed, so you were more than likely going to make the top whatever cut whenever there was that type of cut. I ended up 18th overall, I think, during the Swiss. But even then, you know, I didn't feel like I played well enough to be able to advance. And the fact that I had just as much of a shot as you, who played a better day one. I don't know how I felt about that. I felt kind of. I told Dion I felt kind of dirty inside. I felt kind of yucky, you know, being in the same spot as somebody who definitely played better than I did on day one. So yeah, I'm not sure how I felt about that whole setup, but I do understand. I was listening to the panel when you guys were talking later on that day, and he was mentioning, well, if you are, you know, number 62, 63, 64. What's the incentive? What's the fun in showing up for day two? And just in the spirit of making things fun and competitive for everyone, you know, I do get that side of it. But if you're number 64, you're number 64 because you didn't play well enough your first six matches. So I'm kind of back and forth about that. But outside of that, you know, every time I go to any of these tournaments, it's always the same thing. You know, whether I do well or not, you know, I always want to do well. I always want to win, but it doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, I get to you know, meet some of my friends. You know, I get to see Tyler again, you know, Paul, Duncan, and Zach whenever he's around, and meet new people. Tim, I think, was the first time we met, and I've met a couple other people for the first time as well. So I think for me, at these national or these large scale events is more of an excuse to get out of the city and go meet some friends and have some beers. And the games are just kind of a bonus at that point.
To piggyback off what you said, after what they said, I'm not sure how I feel about that top 64 single elim. I've always been a fan of tournament structures that reward the best players. Like, that's why I was a fan of intentional draws, because it's like, oh, I went 5-0, shouldn't I get like a 75 minute break? I can go get dinner, rest up. It's my reward for being the best in Swiss. This one, like, Tim could have just as easily faced a counter matchup of someone who was 4-2 with bad MOV, who just faced poor matchups or something like that day two, and then it doesn't really reward him for being the best player. This is not like the NFL where the best teams statistically face the worst. It's and, you know, usually the best team is favored highly there. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure how to feel about it.
I would like it if instead of they brought 64, if they brought like 48 and said, okay, the top 16, hey, you guys, you have a bye the first round of elimination. And then the next 32, they actually fight it out. So you know, especially going into the next day, they can sleep in a little, they could show up a little late, and you know, it would reward you if you were the first, you know, the top eight or so of your day. You know, the undefeated's in like one or two of the 501s, I guess, or a couple of the 501s. So
basically the wild card rounds from the NFL, sort of.
Yeah. That's actually very interesting, Paul, because they do a very similar thing in Magic, where the best players who earn points by going to a lot of tournaments and doing consistently well earn buys at Grand Prix. The better you do, you can earn 1, 2, 3 buys. I mean, obviously, buys are super powerful in X-Wing because we don't have 13 rounds or something like that. We have 6. But yeah, that's a very interesting idea.
Yeah, if only we had some guy who had compiled all that data.
But you're making X-Wing too competitive.
Apparently.
Yeah, you know, part of the game, like, we have created, I think the community has created, has turned the game into a very competitive state, but at the same time, you know, because it's kind of, it was originally designed, at least it feels like it was originally designed to kind of be a beer and pretzels game. Like, hey, let's fly some ships around the board. And then, like, oh, hey, let's have tournaments. Like, oh, hey, let's try to be good at this game. Trying to balance the game system around a tournament's a tournament structure is going to be something that I think we struggle with for the life of the game. Go for it.
I don't think competitive is synonymous with bad, though, right?
Like, no, I don't. I'm not saying that, but some people, let's say the majority of the people who actually play this game, like, you know, we go to these events and we see a lot of the same people all the time. I think the majority of people who play this game are not competitive, or the guys who just kind of want to, like, I love the A-Wing, so I'm going to fly A-Wings and B-Wings because I feel like it.
I mean,
but I do. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, like, the people who complain about this game being too competitive, or, like, people who complain about the people on top taking intentional draws were typically the people who weren't going to be in that situation themselves, which I don't think them gave them a lot of room to complain.
Yeah, I totally agree there.
I know I like veered us way off topic.
No, it's fine. It's related to the premier event. I think it's a valid point. So I'll get us back on the road. There's two things I wanted to talk about that happened at the Nova Open. I'll start with the one that might be perceived as a little bit more negative first. So in my first round, I had a little bit of a situation where my opponent wasn't ready to play the game when they started time. He was ready to play the game at about 5 minutes into the timer. Okay. So finally we're putting down rocks, and he brought the three smallest rocks. And there was kind of like a small cluster, and then I was trying to take the smallest rock and see if I could fit it somewhere in the cluster. I can visibly see he is getting irritated, and I'm going to say he is assuming that I'm trying to slow play him. Okay? So I'm like, whatever, man. I'm gonna find my spot. Okay, I ended up finding a spot where he fit. Great. And he set up his ships. And then it was my turn. And I decided to create my fortress because he was flying two TLT aggressors, a sync turret aggressor, and Omega Leader. Said, well, you know, I'm going to have him try to come to me, and then I'll break out of the formation and try to kill one. So my plan was to castle. So I'm being careful to make sure I set it up correctly. You know, I'm not rushing, but I'm also not going too slow. You know, putting down my templates. And immediately, as I'm trying to set it up, putting my template, he screams, judge. And that set the tone for the rest of the game. So I'll leave it at that. But one thing I suggest, if you're going to be playing at these tournaments and you, the timer is always important, I would suggest to always be ready before the time has started to play. The issue was that all of his stuff was still inside of a case, and he was taking it out while the timer was already going.
Yeah,
So go ahead.
I always try and show up to a tournament, you know, with plenty of time to spare, because I mean, you've got to think, you know, especially when you're, let's forget nationals, let's talk about, you know, maybe a regional or a store champ. A lot of times you're going to have to pay, you're going to have to write your list out, you're going to have to get your ships out, you're going to have to get your tokens out, you're going to, you know, double check that your list is ready. You know, give yourself time for that. You don't want to be, you know, rushing into the store and potentially holding up the entire tournament for you to get registered. Always leave yourself plenty of time. And in the end, if you you know, you're there 20 minutes early, that means you get to go bullshit with your friends for 20 extra minutes. I mean, it's not the end of the world. So yeah, please be early. Please be ready to play at events. And definitely, you know, slow play is a very serious allegation to try and level or even insinuate. So please don't do that without any kind of real evidence or any kind of, you know, there has to be some kind of, you know, if they're taking 5 minutes every time to set their dials, 10 minutes every time to set their dials, sure. But this is clearly not that case.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a name here, but that actually happened to me in one where it was consistently slow. But as time got closer and it became apparent that and I didn't say anything, didn't call a judge because it was my fault. But it was consistently slow, and we started same as Dion. We started a couple minutes late because this person had to go to the restroom, and then it was consistently slow. And then when it became apparent that an extra turn would probably mean the difference between a win or a loss, you know, about 10-15 minutes to go, I said, can we speed it up a little bit? And the response, well, this is the same speed I've been doing all match, which is true. I should have said something earlier, but just because it's the same speed you've been doing all match doesn't mean it's an appropriate speed. When we get, you know, 10 turns in a 10-12 turns in a full match, that's kind of a, it's slow. It's a slow pace. And not only for the list that struggle to put damage out, but it's just slow and boring. It kind of takes away from the back and forth of the match, because you get some of these matches that move a little bit faster, and you have those, you know, the swing of the tide. I remember one match in the Ohio Regional against Nathan Idy, and it swung back and forth like 6 times, and we played a bunch of turns, and it was a great match. And playing a longer game gives you that opportunity to just have a lot of fun and let the tide turn 15 different ways versus just playing it really slow and the first person to take the advantage is the one that ends up winning because time runs out. I'm not blaming the player, because it was my responsibility to call it out sooner and say, you know, let's pick up the pace before it was 15 minutes. You know, say that within the first 2-3 turns. But yeah, definitely the pacing of the game and slow play for me is something that bothers me. Even if I'm winning, it's just something that bothers me because it makes the game less fun.
And it sounded like we had a few other people who wanted to say something on the subject. So who wants to go next?
On the subject of slow play?
Yeah.
I just encountered a couple times this weekend basically the same thing, but not like constant slow play. It was plays by my, like, I set dials super quick. I'm setting dials while my opponent's rolling dice. I know what I'm doing like 2 turns ahead typically, but it's my opponent's like will set dials slower or faster depending on the situation for them. And I encounter that a lot, and I just kind of look at it. You can't really say anything. You can't be like, well, that's like I said, it's a huge allegation to make. I don't know how you catch it ever, but it can be a problem.
Floor rules.
But floor rules.
You know, how do you put that into floor rules? I mean, do you set an actual timer? I mean, that's
like speed
chess. That's a whole nother level.
No, but seriously, I actually brought that up, I don't know, like 6 months ago, and I don't see why not. not per turn, but per ship. If you have three ships, you know, you do 45 seconds a ship, 30 seconds a ship, or whatever. So if you're flying a swarm, you get, you know, whatever the timer is times six, versus you're flying two ships, you get whatever the timer is times two.
That's not bad. I mean, if you got rollover time, that would be kind of nice. Like, you have, what, let's say, for argument's sake, a minute per ship, and I only use, like, 15 seconds to dial in both my ships. Like, should I get an extra, like, minute 30 for my next turns or something like that?
Like, that's how War Machine does it, right? They have basically a chess clock for your turn, and you get, like, a certain amount of time for the whole game, and you can split it up however you want. But you do get that whole time.
And Tim, tell me if I'm wrong about this. When that time runs out, like, you're done, right? Like, you can't play anymore, basically?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it would definitely add a different kind of level and layer to the game. But yeah, it is hard to quantify what is slow play. And I wanted to bring up that situation because that was probably, to be completely honest, like the worst experience I have had at a tournament, and I've been at quite a few, especially in the last year and a half, and to just make like some of my friends would say, you know, check yourself before you try to check anybody else, you know. But now I want to flip to the positive, so. One of the coolest things that happened to me, I had great games, and shout out to my second round opponent, who was also super nice and positive and just made me feel, just like lifted my spirits after the game. He was playing some Quad TLT Y-Wings, and he said, hey, I'm just here to have a good time. He said, me too, and it was great.
He was there to have a good time playing Quad TLT Y-Wings? What?
he said he doesn't play tournaments very often. He just, this was like one of his one chance to play. So he wanted, hey, you know what? Let the man have his fun. It's okay. It's okay.
Every list is someone's favorite list.
That's right. Exactly. But we brought up Roy Scales earlier. He is the coordinator for the X-Wing events at Nova Open. But it was... I felt it was a huge honor to be asked to be part of the panel. So, Roy, I know you said you listened to the show. I want to say a huge thank you to you to be a part of that panel with Paul, Duncan, Frank, and the TO. It just was a great honor, and I really appreciate the nod to be a part of it.
Since you alluded to that, there have been a lot of questions on the internets. You know, the forum and Reddit, you know, what was it and what happened? I figured maybe it would be a good time to sort of say what happened there, just to give people a heads up.
We can tease it, but we can't do it. Like, you can't give away the farm. You guys got to watch it.
Right, well people don't even know
it
what
will
happened.
Be on,
so just, you know, what
it,
was it,
it will
what
be
happened,
on,
basically.
Yeah, it will be on YouTube and posted as Nova Squadron. So, you know, we teased it a couple times during Aaron's streaming. We find out what Frank Brooks' least favorite card is. Tune in.
Yep. Yeah. It was a great time. Go ahead, Paul.
It's very clickbaity. They're like, hey, come watch.
It was
actually a really good time. I was worried that it was going to be like, hey, Frank, how awesome is FFG? Oh, it's very awesome. Oh, and like softball questions. But Aaron didn't like, he was asking like, some actual like difficult questions to answer.
Yep, and absolutely. And the audience had some great questions for the panel. We got some good insight from players, TO perspective, game developer perspective, and I guess myself as a content provider perspective. It was very interesting, and I do recommend when they do publish it, take a listen and just you know. It's great. There's some great information there. Is there anything else anybody wants to bring up about the Nova Open?
It was so well run according to the schedule. There were no repairs, no unexplained 15-minute long like trouble with the computers. Like it was really nice like being done by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, like their was that Roy? I'm not. I don't know.
No, that was Sean. Was the TO and
Yeah, just kind of like that strong arm. Like, this is the time we're starting, and if you're not there, tough. This is when this. I like that. I think a lot of TOs in some of the other matches, in some of the other tournaments, they start kind of caving to the, well, I got to do this and I got to do that, and this person's running slow, and kind of start deviating from their own schedule to keep the players happy versus just kind of setting the expectation. I don't care where you are. If you're not here, too bad. We're starting at this time. Sounds kind of mean, but it makes, you know, you're not making one or two people mess it up for the other 200 that are there.
Yeah, it is rough when you go to an event, and maybe you guys have been there, where they say, all right, we're going to wait for every single person to have their rock set, the ships down, and the first dial set. You guys ever been to a tournament like that?
Oh, my God. We have a local store where the TO will do that. He will literally wait till everyone has dials down for turn zero, asteroids, and everyone's standing there waiting, and then he'll start. Like, four-round tournaments will take, like, an entire day.
Yeah.
No thanks.
It's brutal. Hey everyone, I want to take a moment to talk to you about the Michigan GT. It's happening October 6th, 7th, and 8th. There's a Hangar Bay on Friday, the X-Wing Championship on Saturday, and an awesome narrative event on Sunday. The badge for the Michigan GT is only $10, and they even have a package if you want to do all of the X-Wing events that weekend. Go to MichiganGT.com for more information, and I hope to see you there.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
All right, guys. Well, I want to say a huge thank you for you guys for jumping on and hanging out here with Marcel and myself. You guys all did great at the Nova Open. It was great to see all of you. Tim, was the first time meeting you, buddy, but I feel like we're friends already, man. And I can't wait to see you all again at the next big thing. Who's coming to Canada? Marcel Woo! And I are going to be there.
Yeah, dog.
I cannot come to Canada, but I guess since I got second here, I have to now go to Worlds. So I'm going to make that happen. So I'll definitely see you guys there. And, you know, I still haven't been to Gen Con ever in my life, even for Warhammer or anything like that. So, I'll come to your hometown one of these days. And yeah, it was great to meet everybody and see everybody. I do travel, but I usually don't travel anywhere past the Mississippi. So I'm going to have to change that.
Hey, Dion, since when are you from Indianapolis?
Chicago, let's be honest. Chicago is huge. We
own Midwest.
It. Fine.
The Midwest is your hometown, right, Dion?
Absolutely.
It's like a really short trip for you to get to Worlds, right?
Yep.
Sorry, Tim, just busting on you.
I know, it's fine.
I heart you, though. I'll see you Wednesday.
Will you? Why are we seeing each other Wednesday?
Games and stuff.
Dude, I conceded my league game. I said, you know what? I've had enough X-Wing for the week. I'll see you guys next week. So I will not be there this Wednesday.
Ooh, I got to test for Canada. I think I got to try something different.
Fair. I hear that this ship called Miranda is pretty good.
Shut up.
You beat me to it.
I'm gonna burn one of those acrylic Mirandas in front of you both.
Oh my god, I would murder you.
So many people
would
try.
By the way, anybody who wants to get rid of an acrylic Miranda, find me. Because I only found out that they were handing those out after registration was done for all those events. I was literally just sitting around drinking and watching games all day Saturday. I could have tried to get one for myself, but now I've got to trade some stuff. I did get some cool stuff to trade, though, so hit me up.
Tim, if you were a national or former national champ, you might be able to get one. Oh, I'm not gonna spoil anything. No,
jeez.
You're like one two bank away.
Yeah. No, thanks. Yep, I will regret that one bank forever, basically. So that'll be that. Zach and Dallas and Grasser and I will all sit in a corner together and cry. It'll be great.
What about me? I got wrecked.
Look at me. Look at my pain.
I guess I never lose in the finals to Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Oh, well.
What's our next big premier event besides the Canadian Nationals?
Crate Cup 3, obviously.
When's that?
Still not positive, I think, was the last word. They have to find a bigger venue because the winning venue from last year was maxed out at 48, and apparently that's not going to be enough at all. So they're looking for a bigger venue.
So it looks like we're going to South Carolina, Marcel.
That's all right. I got a bunch of miles saved up.
All right, that's the plan. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you want to watch live X-Wing events and content, go to twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast. You can watch replays of those streams on our YouTube channel. Lastly, if you enjoy the show and want to help us continue expanding our content while getting awesome swag, go to patreon.com/GoldSquadron. For Marcel, Tim, Paul, and Duncan, this is Dio Morales. Gold Squadron, out.
All right, people, enjoy. And Duncan, seriously, you got to do something about bombs. If you're going to Canada, you're gonna see
bombs are fine. Shut up, Paul.